Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, another homeschooling dad. And I'm in my parka, and Steve's in short sleeves. Different metabolisms, Steve.
Yeah, I shovel my walk with shorts and short sleeves on. Yeah, so it's... I do get weird looks.
All right. Well, today, friends, we'd like to go after some of the enemies that are destroying Western civilization. We're trying to retain something of a society, social order, on this program. And we believe that a social system that encourages homosexual marriage and destroys womanhood and encourages atheism is a society that is unraveling as we speak. And we talk about the major sins on this program. If you don't go after the major sins, it's just not worth your salt. You need to call the nations to repentance and speak to those who are interested in listening, of course. And we trust there are some interested in listening to our program and some of the things that we say on the program. And those that are interested in hearing what the Word of God has to say about the salient sins of the day, hopefully will run to Christ, find salvation from those sinful ideas that have worked their way into the craw, into the lives of those who are listening to the program, and then come to repentance. Okay, so the major sins of the day, as I see it, Steve, are pornography, for young men especially, the homosexual agenda, the homosexual lust, and feminist pride is a big one. Feminist pride's huge, and we're going to address that on this edition of the program, and I know this is a sacred idol. This is the sacred cow of most of society today, and not many people have the guts to go after feminism, but we're going to do that on this edition of the program. And we're going to talk a little bit about patriarchy as well. So, Steve, here we go. Yeah. Now we're going to get into trouble.
Yeah, no controversy here.
No controversy here. But, you know, we got to get to the truth of the matter. And a lot of God's people are confused. And I'm going to go with John MacArthur on this one.
Oh, really?
John MacArthur. I'm standing with John MacArthur on this one. I know a lot of those who listen to our program, not interested, of course, in our worldview, but like to criticize our program, they love Gloria Steinem, who said, "The liberated woman has sex before marriage and a job after." And Betty Friedan, who said, "No woman wants to work with her stinking husband. She'd much rather work with a corporate boss." Now, I put that in paraphrase, but John MacArthur said this. John MacArthur, the big pastor guy from California, said, "One of the great fortresses that exist today is the feminist agenda. It's amazing to me how confused women are today, even in the church, about their role. They're confused because there's a massive effort. The troops have been sent out from the fortress called the feminist agenda to spread their philosophy throughout this society. Radical feminism has so brainwashed our culture that church leaders and church members have even capitulated to the lies. And as a result, marriage, family, the primary building blocks of social and moral order are in shambles. Much of this can be laid at the feet of the feminist movement because it hath overturned the thinking of women so dramatically that they have abandoned their God-intended role, and consequently the family has felt the consequences. Unthinking believers, untaught Christians have become prey to the ideology of the feminists." Okay, you have a choice between Gloria Steinem or John MacArthur. I'm going to err on the side of John MacArthur.
I think that's a good
idea.
You
think he's overstating the case, Steve? You think he's overstating the case?
Not at all.
Man, you think it's any worse than today than it was in 1996 when he preached this message?
Yes, I think it's gotten worse.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's hard to find a Christian who would say amen to that.
Yeah, I think that.
And I'm talking Christians amongst the more biblically oriented Christians attending Christian churches, homeschooling their kids or sending their kids to Christian schools. It's very, very rare to find people who would agree with John MacArthur today.
Yeah.
Some 15, 16, 18 years after he preached that message.
Yeah. Well, you go back to 1971, there was actually a feminist doctrine called the Declaration of Feminism, and it says this: "The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. Therefore, it is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not live individually with men. All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of women. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft."
Yes.
So,
and they've been successful with that, Steve.
They have.
The shack-up rate 10 times what it was back in 1970. The divorce rate way, way, way higher today. Why? Because of the feminist ideologies and the idea that the man and the woman in competition, the husband not the head, the woman
not the one to submit, according to Ephesians 5, that's heresy. Heresy to Christian evangelical women today. Heresy. But there are still a few who still believe the Bible and say, hey, the breakdown of human civilization as we know it, the increase in the independent women and the divorce morality within the average Christian family today has been destructive to the faith and to the family. Okay, so Steve, we want to talk a little bit about feminism versus patriarchy today. And patriarchy has become probably the most controversial word and probably the most hated word and the most pejorative word used in our society, in the American society today. Now, here's my position on this. I blogged on this about a month ago, and I want to bring out some of my points in the program. Number one, I don't particularly like the word patriarchy, and I'm not a patriarchalist. And here's a couple of reasons. One is, yes, the word is used. The Greek word patriarche is used in the New Testament. It's there. And effectively, it's not a bad word. Well, it's used in a positive sense for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David.
Yeah.
In the Bible. It's used in Acts 2:29, Acts 7:8 and 9, Hebrews 7:4. So unless you absolutely hate the Bible, and you hate every word that the Bible has ever used, or that the Apostle Paul or Stephen in his sermon in Acts 7, if you hate Stephen and you hate Peter and Paul and you hate the Bible with everything in you, you will hate the word patriarchy.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm guessing there's people listening to the program and they would say amen to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do atheists say amen?
Yeah, I would.
I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know, I haven't been to an atheist church recently, so
omen.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe omen, yeah. Okay. Now, here's my take on this. I don't believe I'm a patriarchalist. I don't look at myself as a patriarch because the word is not used for the average ordinary fellow like me.
You mean all the bloggers? All the bloggers are wrong.
Well, when they say I'm a patriarchalist,
right.
Yeah, there's a few out there that think I am.
Yeah.
But the Bible uses it for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm Kev. I'm just some guy named Kev. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I ought to be using that word for myself. So maybe it's just, you know, my take of Scripture. Scripture does not apply this to Kev.
Yeah,
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yeah. I'm not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
You know, at the point where I've got an influence over, you know, 3,000-4,000 years, you know, and I've got 60 million descendants, okay, you can use the word for me.
But, all right, that's going to take a while.
I think it's a little over-eager, or a little maybe a little proud for me to step up and say, I'm a patriarch. Okay.
The tribe of Kev.
Yeah, here's another reason why I don't like the word today, because it has been used, it's stuffed with denotations and connotations that involve every single patriarch out there. Sociologists use it for the Muslims who have their view of patriarchy, their view of fathers leading, and it's not a good view. It's you know, you can beat your wife, you can, you know, I don't know. And they're the Roman form of patriarchy, which is very strong at the time, is called pater potentis. And it was in place for about 400 to 500 years of Roman history. So anybody who knows their classical history would know exactly what I'm talking about here. The father was given enough control such that they would not illegitimize or legalize abortion. They would for the woman, but not for the man. A man could kill his kid if he wanted to. A father had almost unlimited power in the family to kill his own children if he wanted to.
Sounds like the Muslims.
Yeah, that was the way the classical Romans were.
Yeah.
So anybody wants to go back to, you know, classical humanist society, you're going to have to bring in a little pater potentis, which I disagree with because it's unbiblical. Unbiblical. You see? And again, I'm bringing back biblical. The only possible standard for human life has got to be God's law given in the Old and New Testament, which ties back a father's rights within the home to go to that extent to kill his own children. That is ought to be against the law. Wasn't in Roman society, but it is in Christian society, with the exception of abortion and some instances of infanticide. in our present day. Sadly. Sadly, we're moving back to Roman law, and I'm against that. I believe, as Christian law came in with Constantine and others, abortion, even that which was approved of by the father in the home, was illegalized after Constantine. So we're thankful for that. Biblical Christian law, way better than the law you'll find in Muslim courts or the law you'll find in ancient classical Roman courts.
Yeah. And the Mormons have their own view of patriarchy as well. And it's not really any better.
No. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
Especially with their support of polygamy.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have multiple wives and, you get into Utah and, you get into Mormon courts and things like that. They let a lot of this stuff go
pretty rough. Yeah. Pretty rough. Okay. So that's one reason why we don't like the word patriarchy. We believe it has a good connotation in the Bible. It's used in the Bible, but it's been used by the ungodly for every instance of wicked forms of patriarchy. And, as we get into detail like this, the liberals that listen to the program are thinking, oh no, they're coming out with the facts. They're actually digging into this.
Yeah.
These guys care about truth and what really happened in history and the contrast of worldviews. Oh no, they're actually coming out with facts.
And
oh,
facts
help
are
us,
stubborn
help
things.
Us. They sure are. Now, what the Bible calls me is not a patriarch. The Bible calls me the covenant head of my home.
Yeah.
That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Christ is head of the church, even as the husband is head of the wife. That's God's word. That's Ephesians 5. And those who hate Paul aren't going to appreciate that very much. But I think that's helpful. And here's why. Because, Steve, the head is connected to the body.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody's head beat on the body? The head just hit the torso again and again. You ever seen something like that down at Walmart?
I saw it in a locked psych unit.
Yeah. It's going to happen in the psych units, but it's not going to happen in real life. Anybody who loves his wife ought to love his own body, and that's the point that Paul makes in Ephesians 5. And what the problem with the patriarchalists, that is the angry patriarchalists, and by the way, right now we're hearing some shots from next door. I live in Elbert County, okay? I live in Elbert County. They shoot. They shoot guns. They do a lot of target practice. And so be careful if you come to Elbert County.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we don't open the windows. The bullets might just come right in.
Okay. So you're going to hear some banging, but that's just the way it works when you're broadcasting from my basement. Okay. So now the body is connected to the head. And so there's this unity. And the thing I don't like about feminism is the same thing I don't like about the angry patriarchalist. The angry patriarchalist is beating on his torso.
Right.
And he's an idiot. He should be in the psych ward.
And the feminist is beating her head.
And the feminist has no body.
Yeah. And she just
it's like
the head
trying to be a head and just hopping around the yard.
Yeah.
So there's an independence about feminism. There's an independence about the angry patriarchalist. But a biblical concept is the biblical concept of unity or blobness or oneness or corporeality. And this is a concept that the modern American is not familiar with. We live in an age of rugged individualism. One reason why feminism became very, very popular among homeschoolers and among the Western states is because there is a strong independence, a rugged independence about, or a rugged individualism about the Western states. And the first monument to feminism is found at the Wyoming Cheyenne Capitol.
Really?
I don't know if you knew that, but that's as far as we know, Wyoming is the first feminist nation or state in America. And therefore, in the West, you have a strong individualism. People love to be individualists and independent, raising my daughter to be independent, raising my daughter to be independent. How many times have you heard that, Steve? 100 times, 1,000 times. It's all about independence. It's all about being an individualist, whether you're the angry patriarchalist or whether you're the feminist. Either way, they're into individuating human society, which inevitably leads to socialism. Individualism always leads to socialism and tyranny. They tend to be best friends. They hang out with each other quite a bit. But what I advocate as a Christian is what we would call covenantalism, which I know is very, very weird to unbelievers who may be listening to the program, but it's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. We love it. It's great. It's the idea of the oneness. within the marriage. Jesus said when they are married, the two become one. They are no longer two. And so the oneness is more ultimate than the two-ness. And that's how we are way, way, way different than the patriarchalists and the individualists and the feminists out there and the socialists as well. We have a different worldview. It was very, very weird. I know not very many people understand this worldview, but this is our worldview because it's a biblical worldview.
Yeah, so all you bloggers out there and all you people who are going to write negative things about this, don't associate patriarchy with Kevin and I, because we aren't.
Yeah, we're
covenantal.
We're covenantal, exactly. Yeah. Covenantal. I know it's a weird word. Get used to it. You're going to hear it on the program from time to time. We also like to use biblical words.
Yeah.
They're cool. The Bible says the husband's head of the wife, then I can say covenant headship. I can say that. If and Paul says that the woman's role is help meet or appropriate for her husband, Genesis 2, or oikos despoteo, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2, references to the head of, or the manager of the home. The oikos despoteo is the manager of the home. The woman is seen as the home manager in Scripture. I like to use those terms. I like to use these terms because they're biblical. It's clear biblical language. And I think if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian pastor, and your congregation isn't used to referring to the husband as the covenant head, or the wife as the help appropriate for the husband, and the oikos despoteo, or the home manager, the despot of the home, or the overseer of the home, is what oikos despoteo is all about. If you're not used to using those words in the church, then your congregants are getting the wrong idea, and you better shape up, or you're going to probably amalgamate into the feminist ideology of the day. Friends, we're going to be back in just a moment. More on patriarchy in a moment. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me right now. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, also Steve Vaughn in studio. And today, talking about patriarchy. Boy, that's a word used for that. That's pretty much right up there with, you know, asterisk in idiot.
Yeah, you stinking idiot.
You stinking idiot. Yeah, it's right up there. If anybody's really, really, really upset with you, they're going to use this as a suitable synonym, at least for those who are trying to expand their vocabulary for another pejorative for somebody they can't stand, or for somebody who may be, you know, ethically guided by Ephesians 5 versus Gloria Steinem.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than 4 letters, so it makes you look...
It is.
Yeah.
It does. It seems like it makes you look intelligent.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And Steve, I think what happens is you just get a lot of ad hominem, straw man manufacturing, guilt by association arguments, and it's happening right now on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening everywhere on the internet. You know, I think he might be homeschooling. He's a patriarchalist.
Yeah.
You know, somebody go get the rocks. We're going to stone this guy.
Yeah.
And you know, there have been instances of abuse within homeschoolers. I think of the Mormon Ensemble Group, the homeschool Mormon Ensemble Group in Utah.
The Browns.
Yeah. The molestation happening over a period of years, that came out. Father's in jail right now. But, you know, they'll forget the fact that the highest porn download rate in America is in Utah. And the highest county download rate for pornography in Utah is the highest church attendance counties in the state of Utah. As per some articles that we have covered on this program. They'll forget about all that. And that they won't associate some of the stuff with Mormon. And now, again, we got to be careful with guilt by association. It's not always a one-to-one.
Right.
And we can't blame homeschooling necessarily. You know, we can't assume that correlation leads to causality. That's a fundamental logical flaw. And you got to be really, really careful, but forget logical flaws. Guilt by association, straw man manufacturing, ad hominems is what the other side does, and they do it really well.
Yeah, that's the same as blaming McDonald's for Rosie O'Donnell and her weight. You know, it's blaming alcohol for, you know, somebody who drinks a little wine here and there, that everybody who drinks wine is going to end up being a drunkard. So everybody who homeschools is going to end up doing this. No, see, you're confusing the disease of sin with something that can lead to sin. Anything taken to excess can be sin.
Yeah, sure.
So patriarchy, you know, being a covenant head taken to an extreme where you then worship yourself and you set yourself up as an idol, that's sin. So it's idolatry and sin.
And I'm the first to say, Steve, that there is a group of angry, licentious, porn habituated, abusive, control freak fathers out there.
Yeah, I've known some.
They exist. They exist. They have existed for a long time. Some of them are polygamists, and we typically call them Muslims or Mormons, okay?
Yeah.
And we don't like this. We're against this. But that doesn't mean that Paul wasn't addressing an issue and defining a biblical concept concerning roles between husband and wife in the home and the unified household. He was. He nailed it. You know, he wasn't giving room for the angry, licentious, porn habituated, abusive, control freak dad when he did that.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
He, you know, that's another sin. Okay.
Yeah.
And he goes after that in other places. In fact, he also in the same passage says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't look at Jesus Christ as an angry, licentious, porn habituated, abusive, control freak Savior, do you?
No.
I don't think that'd be a good reference to Christ.
No.
That would be a lousy reference to Christ. So he presents Christ as the head of the church and one who sacrificially loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I know that your average feminist, probably Gloria Steinem, never saw that in her own father.
Probably not.
They tend not to. And so all they saw, I don't know about Gloria Steinem or Betty Friedan, but my guess is most feminists saw a huge amount of angry, licentious, porn-habituated, abusive, control freak dads. And that may be why they're feminists today, but that doesn't, legitimize feminism. That's just another sin. Typically, you know, rebellious girls are going to grow up in angry, fathered households. That kind of thing happens a lot. Because, hello, we live in a sinful world. Okay?
Yeah. You get other feminists, Mary Jo Bain, who says things like, we've got to get them away, get people, children away from male influence. I'm thinking she probably didn't have a good father.
Probably not.
You know, Margaret Sanger, the most merciful thing a large family can do to one of its infant members is to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not very good. But you take a look at 1 Peter 2 and 3, you see the relationship that Peter talks about with husbands and wives. And it's on both sides. Husbands are responsible to love their wives. I know that Paul says that as well, but the husbands are responsible to protect and love, and wives are to be submissive and to respect. But it's a unity. It's unifying together. I think that's why God in the very beginning took a rib. It's a side-by-side thing, not a bone from the foot where the husband stomps on the woman. It's a side-by-side, co-equal, together relationship. But somebody's got to be the head. You can't have two captains on a ship.
You know, Steve, I think people are looking at some of these instances where you've got fathers doing bad things as interrupting the unity of the home and the strength of the home, the integrity of the home. And I agree with that. I believe that there have been a number in which that's happened. But it's because of the individuation of that father, the fact he doesn't love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and he sees himself as separate from the household, and so therefore the head is beating on the torso again. Now, the fundamental problem is the breakdown of the covenant home, and feminism has done its share in bringing that about by trying to create the egalitarian household, by encouraging divorce, by encouraging shackups, by encouraging the independence of women, along with abortion. We have seen an unprecedented destruction of the family in the 21st century. Hey, is anybody out there happy with the fact that 50% of kids are born outside of wedlock, born to independent women under 30 years of age in the 21st century? Is anybody somewhat concerned about that? It's 8 times worse than it was in 1960. Is anybody concerned about the divorce rate being 100 times larger than it was before the feminists showed up in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s? Is anybody concerned about the feminist ideology that's eroded the oneness of the home and taken away the importance of women submitting to their husbands and husbands leading and loving their wives? Is anybody a little bit concerned about that? Then make an issue out of it and bring it out to the pulpit. And yes, offend the feminists. And they can run away to their little feminist conclaves and continue to destroy their families, and they won't have families and they won't have kids, and they'll see their posterity whittled down to nothing by the year 2100. So at this point, friends, we need to bring a biblical perspective out on this. We need to go after the antithesis, go after feminism with everything that is in us, and yet be careful. We don't go beyond the bounds of Christian liberty. It's not a sin for a woman to take college-level classes. Made this point many, many, many times. I did it again on my blog because I don't want anybody to tell me what I believe. And people are doing it out there. Saying, this is what Kevin Swanson believes because this is what I believe he believes.
Right.
Well, forget you. I'm Kevin Swanson, okay? Steve, verify that for me. Here's my license.
You are Kevin Swanson.
Okay, very good.
The government says so.
I'm Kevin Swanson, and I don't believe it's a sin for a woman to take classes. I don't believe it's a sin for a woman to obtain an MD degree. Talk about this hundreds of times. I refer to college in my mentorship presentations. I refer to it in my presentations on roles of men and women. Talk about my daughter getting an MD degree and becoming part of a household academy. I talk about women getting college degrees in my talks all over the country, all over the world. Also, I have never believed it to be a sin for a woman to lead in the civil magistrate. We go on and on with that. I don't believe it was a sin for Deborah to be a judge in the book of Judges. And even that's a controversial issue. By the way, if anybody has a question about some of these things specifically, call me, talk to me. Don't just talk me down behind my back. If you've got a concern, you write in to host@kevinswanson.com or you ask me questions, and we'll go back and forth on these things. So I advocate the recently abandoned age-old concept of the family-based economy as well. I think that's a huge solution to the issue here, Steve. You start bringing in the family economy, everything starts to fall into place. Start to see, oh, man, you develop multi-streams here. The husband, the wife still maintain an economic oneness, which is exactly what was taught from Genesis 2 to Titus 2, to the point where the woman's the oikos despoteo in the house, yet the husband's still the head of the home. All of it works in the family economy approach to things, and we do not abridge. We are very careful not to abridge Christian liberty. We qualify ourselves and qualify ourselves and qualify ourselves many times over. You take us out of context, you can make us say anything you want to.
Yeah,
but we qualify ourselves. Christian liberty allows for women, men get college educations. It allows for a disparity of gifts and yet the coming together in one family for a family economy where there may be multiple streams happening in that family economy, but we're bringing back the family economy because it's weird, it's biblical, and it's a good thing, I think, to sustain families for the years to come. I think we've got 18 projects going on right now in this family. I can't keep track of everything my daughters are doing, everything my son's doing. Everything I'm doing, I'm not even keeping track of that.
Yeah. When my kids come to me and say, hey, can you help me out with this? I didn't even know you were doing that. Sure.
Bringing back biblical concepts. It's not the weirdo, enslaved form of polygamous Muslim patriarchy. Neither is it the angry father mode, control freak dad thing coming out of segments of society today. And it's certainly not the feminist independent model that you get from Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem. Okay, standing with John MacArthur on this edition of the Generations broadcast, we believe feminism is a huge problem today. It's ripping the heart out of the family in the 21st century, and we're correcting that on this edition of the Generations broadcast. You can interact with us again by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and let me encourage you to check out the Family Economics Conferences at FamilyEconomics.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.